Going to do something different today. I want to start off here doing something a little different. I am the greatest. I'm the most recognized and loved man that ever lived. Because there weren't no satellites when Jesus and Moses were around. So people far away in the villages didn't know about them. Which great American said that? Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali stood in front of the entire world and said, I am the greatest. He's talking about, I'm the most beloved man that the world has ever seen. You can tell a lot about a person by what they say about themselves, yes? Today, we're going to talk about some very basic things. Sometimes we talk about sort of spiritual calculus. Last week, man, we got into the creation of the world and thermodynamics, and we talk about mitochondrial Eve, and some people are like, what? What? So good news. Today is the basics. Today is ABCs of Christianity, because we want to take a look at what did Jesus say about himself, and we want to wrestle with some of the claims that he made. I think for some of this, is, you know, it'll be a review. People have read this many times. For some of us, this is going to challenge us. It's challenged me to go back and look at these things. So we're going to start in John chapter 6, and we're going to take a look at seven things in the book of John that Jesus said about himself. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So early on in Jesus' ministry here, he makes a pretty extraordinary claim. I am the bread of life. He's appealing to people's spiritual nature and saying that if you come to me, I will feed you spiritually. And then if you don't live on this sustenance of God, that you're not really alive. Bless you. And Terry, I'm so glad you made it today. That's wonderful. Come on. See, you have a flat tire and people just, it's good to, amen. Come on. There you go. Figure we'll work that into the sermon a little bit later, okay? All right, that's John chapter 6. Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke again to the people and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So here Jesus is claiming himself to be the light of the world. He is illuminating people. He is shining a light on people. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when the lights come on, it produces a reaction. Sometimes we welcome the sunlight. Sometimes we sort of scurry off like those. You ever seen a cockroach just sort of, yeah. I am the light of the world. He claimed to be the source of illumination in the world. That is an extraordinary claim. Let's keep going on. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, let's begin in verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. Now Jesus is using another analogy that people would have been familiar with. He says, I'm the gate. I'm the way that you enter into the presence of God. Boy, that does that sound exclusive to anyone? See, we're going to deal with that here in just a minute. The exclusivity of some of the statements that he made. I am the gate, which means you do not enter into the presence of God by any other way. Can you see how this sort of ruffled people's feathers? Can you see how it makes sense for people to want to kill him for saying these things? Extraordinary claims. Extraordinary claims. John chapter 11. So far, he's claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, and the good shepherd. And now, in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? I like that last part. Do you believe this? See, now he's sort of challenging people to respond to what he's saying. Now, let me tell you something really. I'm the resurrection. He's talking about eternal life. Do you believe this? He challenges us to think about the afterlife. And he claims to be the resurrection and the life. John 14. John 14. In verse 6, I'll pick it up in verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Wow. Again, the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way. Not sort of an option. Well, there's 50 ways. You know, we sort of have this concept of all roads lead to heaven. Jesus is dispelling with that and making you deal with that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anybody starting to get a little agitated? See, as I read these things, it really challenged me deep down to my core because my brain is telling me, well, what about Buddha? What about Muhammad? What about the guy on the street who claims to have truth, when Jesus is saying, truth comes from me? This should be agitating you a little bit. If it's not, you're probably not listening. You're probably not really grasping it, and you may need another daylight savings and another hour of sleep. Okay? He's getting to the heart of people's beliefs, and he's saying, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. All right. Let's read a couple more. John 15. John 15. I was trying to explain to my kids this morning on the way in. People say amen, and they encourage you when they say good things, because my son who's 8, how come everyone says amen when people are praying? Well, when you believe and you agree with it, then you say things like that. So thank you, Tom, for agreeing with me. That's what the word amen means. By the way, I'll extend an invitation. If you agree with something I'm saying, you may say amen at your leisure. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Very exclusive statements that Jesus is making. Now, all of these things he said about himself, which force us to make some choices. I want to read you a couple more quotes, okay, from some other people. I believe in God and his son Jesus. That's Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne. Say it again so we can all hear.
According to Lil Wayne, his nickname is Tunchi.
Okay. I did not know that.
Now you know.
Now, why am I reading a quote from Lil Wayne in church? Okay? Let me ask you this. Does it appear from the way he conducts himself that he believes in God and Jesus, his son? Okay, so we live in a world where people claim things of Jesus, and we verbalize and say things. But do we reflect a life that says we really do? That is the challenge for us, because all kinds of people claim. Man, I was just reading quotes on Jesus. John Lennon, do you know when the Beatles were huge, he said, "We're bigger than Jesus. Christianity is going to go away pretty soon. We're bigger than Jesus." Just go online and just Google quotes about Jesus. See what people are saying about him. Everyone has an opinion about Jesus. Okay? Some people say, oh, he's a good moral teacher. See, what we want to do and what I wanted to do for a long time is to relegate Jesus to this, he's just like any other philosopher, any good guy, Muhammad, Buddha, Confucius. Let's take every good philosopher, let's just lump him in with all good moral teachers. He doesn't give us that option. If you understand what we just read about that, we cannot place him in the category of good moral teacher. Why? Because no one is going to tell you, I'm the only way, if they're really not telling the truth. He's a liar if he says, he puts himself on the same plane as God. Some of the Jewish rabbis came and they were asking him a question. And he says, well, guess what? He says, before Abraham, I am. He's putting himself on the level of God. I am. That was what God said to Moses. When Moses was like, hey, I'm probably not your guy. God, you sure me? I'm not a good speaker. Like this whole dialogue, it goes back and forth between God and Moses. Finally, God says, look, shut up. Tell him the I am sent you. Okay. Jesus put himself on the level of God. And when he said that, oh, we got to kill him. We have got to kill him. That immediately they begin plotting on how to kill him. He doesn't give us the option of being a good moral teacher. Let me read you another quote. When people say, you know, good teacher, prophet, really nice guy, this is not how Jesus thought about himself. So you're left with a challenge, which is either Jesus was who he said he was, or was a complete and utter nutcase. You have to make a choice on that. Ladies and gentlemen, Bono, the lead singer of U2. That's what Bono says about Jesus. We got to choose. Do we believe him and accept him for who he says he is? Now, all of us in here, because we're in church and we're dressed up, we will say, of course I do. Yes. But do we live like that? This is what I say to myself when I read this. Do I live like he's the resurrection? Do I live like he's the way and the truth and the life? So let's go back over these statements a little bit, and we'll go from teaching to preaching a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what I said to myself when I read these scriptures, okay? Let's go back over those. Can we do that? Good, because we're going to. John chapter 6. Let's go back and let's get some application from what Jesus said. John chapter 6 in verse 35. John 6, verse 35. Then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you don't believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Jesus claimed to come from heaven. Nobody else did that. If someone did, you would think, nutcase, nutcase. You can go to New York City and walk around town, and people might say that, but you, mm-mm. Jesus not only claimed this, but he lived it in such a way that made people either totally give their lives or want to kill him. And if you truly understand the message, you're going to have to pick a side. And you're going to have to live like you've picked a side. We like to live in the gray area, don't we? Okay, let me have some conviction, but don't make anybody mad. Let me take a stance on this. But, well, what if I say something about any, just pick a topic in our society. Marriage. How do we treat homosexual people? How do we treat them? Can you take a stand about your beliefs and still love them? Or are they only going to feel condemnation? Jesus loved everybody. And everybody felt confident to come up to him. I was amazed. You know, one other thing that I've been learning is how to be in the moment. Because I have a screen, I have lots of screens at home. I gave my biggest screen to the college kids because I was just using the littler ones.
Amen.
There's someone who agrees. One of the biggest challenges about being like Jesus is to be in the moment. Jesus is walking in a crowd and someone comes up to him with need and touches him. He says, "Who touched me?" The disciples are like, are you kidding me? There's 1,000 people here. He was so in tune with people's needs. Who just touched me? He was in the moment. Do we live like we're in the moment? Even now, to pay attention for like 30 minutes-ish. To be in the moment. Jesus was in the moment. I am the bread of life. He's making a claim that unless you are being sustained by the words that he said, you're not even really alive. Which makes us make a judgment about where people are. I know you're alive, but you're not really alive spiritually. You're living. You're sort of walking around, but you're not really alive. And Jesus forces us to deal with this. Unless we're being sustained by him and his words, we're not really fully alive. That challenges me. Yeah? All right, John chapter 8. Sam, help me out here, would you, buddy? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay, so he's making a claim here. Samuel? Yes, sir. Ooh. Oh. Okay. Pause for delay. That's what we call it. Pause for effect. Okay. We still keep flipping stuff, man. Would you pay attention more if it were like this? Or would you? There we go. Hey. All right. Now, this is what Jesus says the world looks like without him. What makes us go to fifth grade when that happens? What? Okay. This is how Jesus describes the world without him. Okay. Then he claims to be the light of the world. Now, when he was talking to Nicodemus, just a couple of chapters over, let's see how he further talks about light and darkness. We all know this one from our football games, because we're Americans. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Okay, Sam. That challenges me because that says that men love darkness. But when we start to understand who God is, we walk towards the light and we let our lives be exposed by that. So now, How does this shape your view on talking about who you really are? How does this shape your view on confessing your sins to other people? Now, in our world, we're supposed to put our best face on all the time. And everything's great, and I'm good. How you doing, bro? Good. I'm good. Well, according to Jesus, no one is good except God alone. So you know what that does? That puts us all in the same boat. In the same room. In the same art museum. We're all in the same boat. So we should learn how to talk about our faults, shortcomings, sins, in a way that is healthy. Guess what? I love the darkness. There are things that I love about the darkness. This is why I try to, and if you're visiting, I'll just randomly confess sins sometimes. I'm not trying to run you off or be weird, but I want you to know that everybody's in the same boat, and other men have taught me how to be open and honest about who I am and who I would be without God. So here's who I would be without God. I got a chance to tell this to my brother the other day. Last week, they visited with us, and we were walking around downtown, and we saw all the, like you mentioned, homeless people, people sleeping on the streets and things, and my brother said something. I wonder what it takes to get to that place. What kind of choices do you have to make in your life to get to where he is? And he said, what do you think? Because he knows I'm a minister, and he sort of opening the door for a little deeper discussion. I said, well, I've talked to some of these folks, and a lot of it is a series of bad choices, but really it comes down to what I've seen, a really oppressive dad or an absentee dad. A dad who was super oppressive or a dad who just wasn't there. Now they know that my dad wasn't there. Well, how did you, like, why aren't you there? And I'm like, I've been a Christian for 17 years and you still don't get it? You still don't? You saw me before. When I was doing drugs every day. When I was just doing what I wanted to do, whatever I thought would make me happy. You saw that. Now you see. You've been to my wedding. You've seen my wife. You've seen my kids. And you still don't get it? I said, bro, here's who I would be without God. I would, at best, I would be a functional self-medicator. I'm just going to turn this off.